The following program is produced in a timeshare agreement with Civic Media. The views in this program do not necessarily reflect those of Civic Media. Enjoy.
New York, Paris, Los Angeles, Chicago, Tokyo, and Wausau. This is the Wausau Business Show with your host.
And we're back!
We got that in the box. We got Andrew with traffic.
He went down to Tampa, say Pete.
Wausonians.
Good morning.
We are indeed back.
Back for another one.
Episode number 15 of the Wausau Business Show. A lot going on this weekend. It's 100% action-packed Wausau as usual, but it is an extra busy weekend in Wausau.
A lot going on. Starting with Balloon Fest. Hodeg is going on. Don't forget about that, just north of Wausau.
What's a Hodeg? What's a Hodeg? And the Iola Car Show. I know a lot of people from Wausau are going to that this weekend.
Yeah, big fans all over.
What's your favorite car?
You got me on the spot. I'm going to say Porsche 911.
Ooh.
Never driven one, but I'd love to.
I'm going
to
go with any old muscle car.
There you go.
Okay, so we don't have much time. We got to get serious. Who's coming up on the show this week, Paul?
This week we have master chef and friend Adam Jamgoshian.
And a Wausonian that just got back from performing on Broadway.
His name is Nolan Travis. He'll be coming in the studio shortly.
He's going to be a senior at Wausau West High School, and he wants to perform on Broadway. He's a Wausau West Warrior.
Yeah,
he's coming in.
Go, go Warriors.
He's going to be a senior this year. And he has a super big passion for Broadway musicals, which is awesome.
Because so do we.
Yes, we do. And we're going to talk about that and maybe do a little singing with Nolan.
Yeah,
so,
I'd love to. It'll be my debut singing a musical, I think.
All right, cool. We'll be right back with Adam Jamgoshian on the Wausau Business Show.
Yeah.
Let's get down to business.
The Wausau Business Show.
Let's get down to business.
Dedicated to Wausau, Wisconsin, USA.
At Rooterware, we challenge the notion that sophisticated legal practices only exist in major metropolitan areas. Our team chooses to live and work in communities where many people only vacation or pass through. We enjoy a quality of life and have an excellent work-life balance, while still practicing exciting, challenging law in Wausau, Eau Claire, Green Bay, and Wisconsin Rapids. Since 1920, we've been doing what we want and where we want to do it. Find us at rooterware.com.
Hey folks, this is Charlie Behrens. Our Cripes Cast is coming up at noon on Bull Falls Radio. Now back to the Wausau Business Show with your cheese curd brained hosts, Ryan and Paul, served with a nice side of ranch dressing. All right, Wausau, I love you so much. I'll be back soon, and hey, watch for deer, okay? Bye-bye now.
Bottle Ridge. Every kind of mood you're in tonight. Meet you anytime you want in our Italian restaurant.
All Wausau, all the time. It's the Wausau Business Show. I'm Ryan.
And I'm Paul.
And now we're here with Chef, Master Chef, Adam Jamgoshian.
Yeah. How you doing, man? Welcome to the Wausau Business Show.
Welcome, sir.
Well, thank you for having me, guys.
Finally, it's an honor to have you here.
Paul, and thank you for having us.
Is that boom getting in your way there,
no,
Paul?
No, I watch my head.
Okay. My microphone boom is right in Paul's head. All right. So how long have you been a chef?
Pretty much all my life.
Yeah?
I started cooking when I was 8 years old with my grandmother and my great-grandmother. And I was that kid that was always in the kitchen in the mix trying to get my hands dirty and be in the way and find out as much as I could. And
how old was your great-grandma when she passed away?
She was, I believe, 88.
And how old were you?
I think I was 13 years old.
Oh, so you got a good 13 years with your great-grandma.
Yeah, we would go to Brooklyn, New York every summer with my father and my family. And we would show up at Graham's house and she would have this spread of food. Or she would be working on this food for, you know, five people, but it was enough for 30. Easy.
So she had a huge family?
Well, I had a pretty big family, five brothers and sisters.
Yeah,
and
Italian.
My mom and
obviously.
Dad, yeah.
Yeah. So she was born and raised in Brooklyn?
She came here from Sicily.
Oh,
to Brooklyn? Yeah. Yep.
Cool.
And she lived her whole life in Brooklyn, New York?
Yes, she never left.
Wow.
And so you got to go and visit every summer.
Yep. So it was where my dad was from, and it was important for us to go see her.
Yeah. But I forgot to mention that we're in the kitchen at Chow. So
yeah, you can hear the background noise.
So, the iconic Chow kitchen.
Right.
So your dad was born and raised in Brooklyn then? Is that right?
Yep.
Roger Jim Goshen, the iconic Wausaunian. And what brought him to Wausau, Wisconsin from Brooklyn?
He met my mom in college.
Had to see about a girl.
Yeah. And my mom's father didn't want them in Brooklyn, so he got my dad a job at Wausau Insurance.
Oh. Where did your dad meet your mom?
What college, I guess?
Gunnison, Colorado, Western State.
Where was your mom from?
She was from Morton Grove, Illinois.
Okay. Chicagoland.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, you wouldn't be here in Wausau, Wisconsin, USA.
Correct.
Okay. What does your dad do at the legendary Wausau Insurance?
He just sold insurance policies, and he got bored of it really quick and decided to buy a bar.
and he bought the right one.
Yeah.
The Hiawatha Bar. I mean, did that have a lot to do with you getting into the industry as well, your father? Or?
Well, yeah, pretty much. If I wanted to see my dad, I had to go to work with him. So,
was that your first restaurant job at Hiawatha?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Well,
how old were
technically,
you?
Technically, I was probably 8 or 9 years old.
Oh, yeah.
And, washing dishes?
Washing dishes, yeah. Peeling potatoes, you know, little stuff to just keep me busy.
Learn the kitchen, learn the business. Yeah. What great memories. And then you went to Wausau East, right?
That's correct.
And you graduated. And did you know in high school at Wausau East, well, you were a lumberjack that you wanted to be in this industry?
Not really, per se. I wasn't very awesome in the marks and at Wausau East. You know, I did what I had to do to play hockey.
Yeah.
And that was it. And
great hockey player, if I remember, right?
Yeah, I was pretty, I was okay.
Yeah.
And so then shortly after that, I moved to Colorado because that's where I wanted to be a snowboard guy.
Snowboard junkie?
Yeah.
Okay.
And
bum.
I had skills in the kitchen and I just started there and eventually moved down to Durango, Colorado.
Wow. I hear that's a beautiful part of the country.
Yeah, it was really nice. I got a job at a 5-star hotel as a line cook, and that's where I met my mentor. And he encouraged me. He like went the extra mile to keep me interested. And
What was his name?
His name was Gary Beams.
Is he still around?
He just passed away a couple of years ago.
Yeah. Wow. But he played a significant role?
Significant role. Like, he went the extra mile to keep me involved and then encouraged me to eventually go to culinary school.
And how old were you when you went to culinary school?
I was just 21.
Okay. So you said a 5-star place?
Yeah. It was called the Tamaran Resort.
Wow. Okay. That is unbelievable.
It was an 18-hole golf course and called the Cliffs. It was amazing.
Well, to have 5 stars, that's a pretty high distinction.
Well, it wasn't a Michelin 5-star or anything, but it was just 5-star rated. A very nice place.
Really fancy. But you were just 21 years old and you had experience from the Hiawatha, and then you had some experience when you originally moved out to Colorado. So you only had a couple years of experience out there. Was it difficult to get that job at such a nice place?
It wasn't super difficult. You have to pass a drug test. And
that was the hard part.
That was the hardest part.
What type of cuisine was it?
It was just like a lot of, I don't want to call it Tex-Mex, but Southwestern with a fine dining flair, I guess.
Yeah.
A lot of steaks, a lot of,
And you were a line cook?
Yep.
So does that mean like the chef and the sous chef kind of tell you what to do?
Correct.
Okay. Yeah. And what's the interview process like for that kind of thing?
It was three different interviews. First one, you're taking me back here.
Memory lane.
Take your time. Yeah, memory lane. It was just like an introduction and like a tour of the facility.
Yeah. But I mean, I guess more specifically, you had to cook for them, right?
A little bit.
Yeah. But not much?
Yeah. No, they asked me for references. And I worked in a place in Denver before moving down who gave me a really good, solid letter of reference, which helped out a lot.
Yeah. So you meet Gary, and why did he influence you so much? What impact did he have on your career?
I just, he was paying very close attention to me. Like if I was messing up, he was like right there to say, that's not right. This is how we do it.
Oh,
you use this for that and the right tool for the right job kind of thing.
Like Gordon Ramsay kind of like really getting on your ass?
Yeah, he wasn't as much of a,
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can say it.
I don't know if I can say that.
Yeah, we know where the FCC speak freely. Okay. So then he says, go to culinary school. And you went to culinary school in D.C., right?
Yeah. L'Académie de Cuisine.
So he said, get the hell out of here. I want you to go to culinary school or what?
Well, from Durango, I moved to Lake Tahoe.
Mm, cool. Tough life.
Yeah, well, I was living in my car. Me and my buddy went for a job fair, and we didn't have much money. We were just trying to get a job at a resort so we could do more snowboarding.
Yeah.
And it just didn't work out. And we got there, we got jobs, and it never snowed. Uh-huh. And we're living in my car, and I wake up one morning, I got a 4-inch icicle on my beard. My dog is chattering her teeth in the back seat.
So the dog's living with you in the car.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Me and my buddy and my dog and my VW Fox.
Oh, man. It's the start of a good turnaround story there.
That, the stories go on from there.
Where do you shower when you live out of your car? You're only the second person. I used to work with somebody that he was living out of his car at the time.
And
I didn't have the heart to ask him at the time, but I know you well enough. Like, how do you take a shower and do all that?
So we meet people along the way, and they were, you know, pretty gracious to let us hang out and we
like money fish by fans working. Or what?
People kind of, I mean, like we were in the hills of Mendocino County, like
is that the doing, California side?
Doing gardening.
Yeah, sure.
And hi.
Hey. Oh, hey, there's Tara.
There's Tara.
Tara, come over and say hi.
Hi,
will
Tara.
You?
Say hello. Yeah.
What's your favorite part about Chef Adam, wife, Tara? You can speak right into Paul's microphone.
Sure,
there.
Go ahead. Take over for me.
Why'd you marry this guy?
What?
Did you just marry him because he's a good cook or...
not to put you on the spot or anything. Yeah. You're lucky you got that.
Tara and I went to grade school together, so I've known her a very long time.
Yeah.
Tara, you're late for work, by the way. So then you're out in Lake Tahoe, and she walked away.
Yeah.
And then how did you get to D.C.?
Well, we eventually couldn't handle the conditions in Lake Tahoe. It was cold, but not snowing.
Uh-huh.
So I had to call my parents and get some cash to drive home.
Okay.
And
that's always
they
tough.
Wired me some money. And
yeah.
I made it from Lake Tahoe and to Wausau in 32 hours straight without a break. And then I met my former wife, Robin, and I was just like, well, what am I going to do? Mm-hmm. I don't feel like going back to work at the Hiawatha per se right now.
Right. And how old are you at this point?
Probably about 20 years old. Then. Okay. So my
Did it feel like you failed?
I was bummed out because as soon as we got home, Tahoe got like 4.5 feet of snow of that next day.
Of course, yeah. Murphy's Law. Yeah.
And I was kind of at limbo. I didn't know what I wanted to do. And my dad's brother called me. He's like, there's a great culinary school here in D.C. where I live.
Yeah.
You can come and live with me until you find a place. I'll give you a job. And
cool.
So thank you, Uncle Mike, for that.
Yeah. And, is he still out in D.C.?
Yeah, he's in the Maryland area. He lives in Olney, Maryland.
Nice. Works for the CIA. Or
he used to work for he was a nuclear atomical physicist.
Oh my god, like this America.
He would go around and inspect like the submarines and nuclear plants all over the world.
Does he know Grace Stanky?
He might.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's
so
cool.
Then he allows you to kind of shack up there, and then you get into culinary school, and Gary blesses this out in Colorado.
Yeah,
he says yes, so, go to this culinary school, it's okay.
Yeah, oh yeah, he's just like do it. And then that was the last I heard from Gary for a really long time.
Mm-hmm.
And I just kind of got busy doing my own thing. And
how long does culinary school take? How many years?
It was 2 years total.
Wow.
Okay.
So you do an hour of classroom, and then the next year is 2 days in the classroom, and then 1,800-hour externship.
Okay. So like an externship somewhere at a restaurant?
Which one?
I did mine at the historic Georgetown Club.
Oh, cool. Georgetown has
very, 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 very well-renowned. Like, I cooked dinner for Bill Clinton and Monica Lewinsky and Bill Clinton and Chelsea Clinton.
Separately, or together?
Together.
Wow.
And then, so this is when
Prior to the scandal,
was going down.
They went out to dinner together?
This was a private club.
Okay. I'm listening.
Wow.
We're all listening.
Yeah, there's like...
Let me get on the edge of my seat here. Hang on a second. Okay. Wait. What?
I don't know if they were together.
Yeah.
I wasn't really allowed to fraternize with the...
Well, neither was Bill Clinton. He did it anyway.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, it was if you had a parking ticket, you couldn't go to work that day, or like an unpaid fine, or
you had to get
like
a background check.
Yeah, background checks. It was very serious.
Wow.
The Secret Service was in the kitchen watching, tasting all the food, watching everybody.
Jeez.
It was crazy.
This is where the wheelers and dealers go when they're making laws and whatnot.
Yeah, that all the ambassadors from all over the world. That's where they had dinner. It was crazy.
Yeah. So how do you know that it was Bill Clinton and Monica Lewinsky that you were cooking for?
Well, the I knew the maitre d' very well, and he liked me, and he was.
And they came in as a couple?
I don't know if they came in as a couple. I can't honestly say that.
But they were there on the same night at the same time.
Maybe that transpired after everything blew up, but.
Yeah. You mentioned maybe, blue. Maybe was she wearing a blue dress? Did you cook for them on the night that she was wearing that iconic blue dress?
I could have. I don't. I didn't,
you
see,
didn't
them
see them
in
yeah.
person. You know.
Let's just run with that.
Yeah, we can say that.
Chef Adam in Wausau, Wisconsin, USA, was the one who, through a series of events, led to the blue dress event. Maybe it was your cooking that got them all good. Riled up that night.
That's the fastest way to the heart. Chocolate? Yeah.
Wow, what did you cook for them? Do you remember?
It was a tasting meal. I don't remember exactly
so
what
so many
they
different
had,
courses.
It was like six or seven courses paired with wine and fine spirits.
Now, what a good experience for you. I mean, not the Monica and Bill part. That's cool. But working
cool?
in that kitchen.
I guess it's cool.
D.C. in general was a great place to be because it's just like a melting pot of the world there looking for the best and to be the best.
Yeah.
And when I wasn't working there, I would just show up randomly at some great places and just say, you know, let me in. I got my knives. I don't want any money. I just kind of want to see.
Oh, cool.
I'm going to school here.
Oh,
I just want to check out the operation. I just, you know, I'll
very
work for
cool.
free.
Oh, and they would say yes.
Yeah.
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
Great
Come
experience.
On in, kid. Here's
wow.
a case of potatoes. Go nuts.
Go to town. Nuts. Yeah. Wow. So who did you do that with? Anybody famous?
So I worked... I did a couple of Stas events at the Inn at Little Washington, Jeff Boobman at Vidalia, Roberto Donnet of Galileo, who was also an Iron Chef.
Wow.
And then I did some things at the Four Seasons downtown D.C.
All while in culinary school.
Yeah.
Okay. So
I was very, very busy.
What a resume.
Yeah. Very cool. Ambitious and obviously very passionate. You. When did the passion for that really start really firing up in your belly? Like, was that when you were working for Gary?
That was the very beginning of, I think I'm pretty good at doing this.
Cool.
I know I can make a buck at it.
And then once you realize you were good, then you like.
Then the invite from my uncle to come to finalize or seal the deal for my career. I had literally nothing going on outside of like snowboarding and having a good time.
Yeah. And by that, I know.
And it was time to basically shoot or get off the pot.
Yeah. See, we found the button for the FCC. Don't worry about it. So your uncle kind of really played a critical role in the story of Chow in a way.
Yeah, huge.
So you were there 2 years, and then at the end of 2 years, did you move? Is that when you moved back to Wausau?
I moved back to Colorado.
Oh, okay.
And that's where I took my first executive position, and I moved to Steamboat, Colorado.
Wow, Steamboat Springs. Love it.
Jeez. I was there for probably 2.5 years.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
And where were you working there?
I worked at a place called Cagino's. It was a Philadelphia-style Italian pizzeria.
Cool.
I was the executive chef there.
Wow.
And then I worked for a great chef, Brent Holloman, who opened the Willard Room Hotel as a chef in D.C. when he was 18 years old. This place was called the Alpine Bistro. It's no longer there. He's in Florida doing private chef events and things like that.
I think this is starting to explain why the food at Chow is so good. All that experience you have.
Yeah.
Well, you really bring it.
So then after that, you moved to Wausau?
Yep. My dad was falling on some health issues and he had just purchased Michael's Supper Club.
Okay.
And he's like, I need you to come back here. Or will you come back here?
Well, did he buy that kind of to lure you back?
Maybe. I don't. Yeah. I never know. I can never put a finger on it.
Yeah.
But he's just like, oh, you know, my health isn't so great.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, I have this place and we need you to take care of
the iconic Michael's Supper Club.
Yeah.
That's luring. I can see why you'd come back.
So you come back. And what year was that you came back to Michael's then?
The end of 99. And I actually showed up right before I came back here. I got into a dirt bike accident and like messed up my hand. I was in a cast and a sling and all scratched up. And I showed up and my dad's like, how are you going to cook? I'm like, don't worry about it. We got this.
So you set the, hang on a second.
I can hear timers going off around the block. Hey guys, get the beets away out of the oven, or check the beets at least.
Check them, yeah.
Check them.
We're in a live kitchen. This guy has supersonic hearing when it comes to timers, apparently.
It's the instincts.
Yeah.
So
you're in a cast, right?
Yeah.
You're coming back, you're in a cast.
Michael's,
And love Michael's.
And who sets the menu? Did you take over the menu that was in existence at Michael's, or did you create a new menu when you came back?
So Michael's, as you know, is a very long-lasting like staple in Wausau for I don't know, probably 25 years prior to my father buying it.
And was the guy's name actually Michael?
Yeah, Michael Myers.
Oh, scary.
Yeah. Halloween.
Michael Myers. Yeah.
And he started it back in the 70s.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. And he did great there. And it was
iconic.
You know, so I left a lot of things and I changed some things.
Okay.
I added some things and
the shrimp chartreuse you left on the menu.
Yeah. Huh? Yeah. Well, that's I mean, still to this day, here at Chow, like I didn't have it when I first opened here. And people are like, we're never coming there if you don't do it, or we're going to find you.
Whoa.
So
then he made the announcements back by popular demand.
Pretty much.
The shrimp chartreuse appetizer is on the menu. Great. So for anybody that hasn't been to Chow and has never been to Michael's in Wausau, Wisconsin, USA, the shrimp chartreuse has been a staple of Wausau's culinary scene since the 1970s.
Maybe the biggest staple, to be honest. It's iconic.
One of them,
Maybe I'll make that for you guys later.
Oh, that would be fun. Yeah. Okay, so we're going to take the mobile microphone deeper into the kitchen.
Yes.
We're in the kitchen right now, but we're going deeper into the kitchen. All right, so Michael's was a raving success, but then you decided, no, I'm going to sell this place.
Yeah, so, I mean, I feel like the location was a hindrance. I mean, it's a booming end of town, but I think it's almost become almost franchise row. You know, a lot
Henry
of people.
Mountain,
too commercial almost.
Yeah. And Michael's, as you know, was a very outdated building. And like every time we made a buck there, we always had to stick it back into the building.
Right.
If that wasn't working, this was out and it was a constant.
Yeah, it was like a money pit.
Yeah, and so.
And I remember you talking when you had it, because I used to love eating in that lounge.
Me too.
I know, it was so cozy. But I remember you talking about how you wanted to put a patio and you had visions of like having a patio out there. And then this place became available, which was, what was the name of this place when you bought it?
Daly's.
Daly's?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so like you came to him or he came to you, or how did that go?
So this is actually a pretty good story again. So I had already accepted an offer on Michael's.
Okay.
And I was going to go to the City Grill, but I was going to buy the City Grill.
Okay. And so you were talking to Bob Weirach.
Yeah. Great guy.
Yeah, he is.
My alley neighbor as a kid, so he knew all
Yeah, wasn't he
really
friends
well.
With your dad?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very,
okay.
very
all
good
right.
friends.
Right.
And so I'm going through all these motions, and I'm just like, and during that time, the Daly's had reached out to me.
Okay.
And they left me a voicemail, and I had never returned the call because I was set on doing the City Grill thing.
But they had heard that that was happening, and that's why they called?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And they heard that I had sold Michael's.
Okay. And did you know them at the time?
I didn't know them personally.
So they called
we have met, but I didn't know them from
Adam.
No
pun intended. Caught myself. So okay, so he calls you up and you ghost him?
Yeah, like I never bothered to return his call.
Yeah, right.
And so we'll say the following morning, maybe it was a week prior, I was going to finalize things with Bob.
Yeah.
And I walk into this, like I went to Michael's, we were going to meet at Michael's. I'm like fresh squeezing oranges, crepes and all these decadent like breakfast pastries for this like celebratory thing.
Closing, right.
And he comes in with the guy from Benvenuto's.
Okay.
And he introduces me to this guy.
The owner of Benvenuto's.
And I'm like, okay, well, and Tara's with me.
Okay. Yep. Your then girlfriend, now wife.
Yeah. And he says, this is so-and-so. I've decided to sell the City Grill to him, but he wants you to be the kitchen manager.
And
he goes into like, oh, we'll pay you okay, and we'll send you some pictures and some recipes. And
this is the Benvenuto's guy?
Yeah.
Okay.
And
had he ever even tasted your cooking?
No.
Did he know you were a very experienced chef?
I have no idea what he knew, or I think he was there to try to offer me a job. And
sounds like it.
Based on what Bob has said. And, you know, I looked at Bob. I'm like, you know, you could have saved us a lot of whatever. And I'm not talking bad about Bob. This was just a story and the way it went down.
Yeah, these are the facts. Yeah.
And I was just like, what in the hell would make you think that I'm going to do this right now at this point in my career? I'm like, I'm great now and I'm only going to get better.
Yeah, you know? And I'm firing on all cylinders. I'm not going to go backwards and be a kitchen manager.
Right. Yeah, you want to have a restaurant.
Right.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah, understandable.
You're not even setting the menu at that point at that level, are you?
Right. No, they're sending me the menu. Yeah. And then they said, and Tara, we want you to run the hotel. So
all right,
I'm pretty much in tears at this point.
Right.
I just sold my restaurant. I've got no other plans.
Yeah.
Well, in Bob's defense, he probably got more money.
Well, the guy probably had way more money than me, and Bob was going to give me this amazing deal that nobody heard about.
Right.
Opportunity.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And Bob's a great guy.
Yeah, he is. I can't say that enough.
Hi again, Tara. Did you think of anything to say about your husband? No.
He needs longer.
Okay. Did you hear about the blue dress? All right.
So the day after that, I'm on the golf course with my brother, and it's kind of it's an early morning round, and I'm playing golf, and I got to go pick up my daughter from swim practice, and I'm like, and then I got to go back and get her.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Pick her up, drop her off, and then go back and get her. And I'm just like starving. I'm like, where can I just get something really quick? And I'm like, Polito's.
Yeah.
And I pull in like right in front of this restaurant.
Okay. Yep. What year is this?
This is the end of 18.
Okay. 20,
like summer of 19.
Yeah. Okay.
Sounds right.
Maybe 18.
I
opened November 15th of 19.
Okay. Okay. All right.
So a couple months before that in golf season.
Yep. Okay.
And I'm like, the doors are wide open.
Yeah.
I can hear music like piping out onto the street.
From Daly's. Yeah.
Mm. And I'm just like, and I just kind of walked by to Polito's because I was so hungry. And I just kind of double took the, and then remembered the phone call.
Had you ever been in here at the time?
No, I had never been in here prior to St. Clair's Menswear.
So this, that's right. This used to be St. Clair's.
Yes. Yeah.
That's wild.
Yeah.
Okay.
I thought maybe it was the tea shop.
Okay, no, I think it was part of the tea shop.
I think it was too.
Okay. Yeah. All
right. That's going way back.
Okay, yeah. So you come in here?
So I go eat my pizza and I'm just thinking, you know, maybe I should, like, what else? What do I have to lose at this point?
See, let's, what was let's, up with let's that just, call.
The doors are wide open.
I hear another timer going off. Yep. What's the timer on that for?
It's the beats again. They weren't quite ready.
Oh, the beats. Put them back in. All right. It's got to be done to perfection, everybody.
You can't just say... You can guess, but it's always
this is an art, not a science.
Yeah. Right.
So I walk in to this restaurant, Chow, or then Daly's, and there's a kid behind the bar, Drew, who still works for me.
Okay.
And I'm just like, is, you know, T or Jim around?
Yeah.
He's like, well, T is here. I'm just like, well, could you just tell her that Adam Jim Goshen from Michael's is here? He's like, yeah, I'll be right back. And there was nobody here.
Uh-huh. But they were open for lunch?
They were open for lunch, I believe, at the time. Okay. Mm-hmm. Maybe there was a couple people at the bar. I just was kind of looking around and just kind of getting a lay of the land without, like, being too obvious.
Yeah.
And T comes out practically in tears. She's like, oh, my God, I can't believe you're here. We're going to give you the greatest deal in the universe, and we need to get out of here, and you need to take this over.
Oh, my God. Wow. That almost makes me tear up.
It's crazy timing.
I was just like, okay, and we talked. And then, then we met again.
How long was this after they had initially
called you?
Yeah. Thanks, Paul.
You're welcome.
Probably, we'll say maybe a week.
Oh, okay. Oh, so you didn't ghost him for that long?
No, not that. Maybe it was 2 weeks. I honestly, I couldn't tell you.
You think Bob kind of put a little thing in their ear and said, why don't you call Adam?
He might have. I don't know how good their relationship is.
Yeah, right. All right.
I don't know.
Okay. So then she hugs you. She tears up.
Yeah,
she says,
you have to meet my husband. We've been talking about you. We've been going to your restaurant. You will kill it here. I promise you. And we're going to give you the deal of the decade.
Wow.
And so.
The rest is history?
The rest is history.
Wow. Where are they now?
They're all over the place. They have family all over and they just travel. They're retired.
Wow. Yeah. Well, there's a connection to like Ireland and Thailand or something.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Wow. Timing is everything. That's a great story. It was an example of that.
Yeah. It's a really good story.
Well, and then the end of the story is Bienvenuto's went out of business. So.
That they did.
Put a little cap on that story.
Yeah. Yeah.
Didn't go well.
No. So now you're at Chow where we sit today.
Mm.
How long? It took you a few months to get it up and running?
We were up and running in less than 40 days.
Ah, love it. I wanted to ask you about the menu here because it has some similarities. You talked about the shrimp with Michael's, but it also has some menu items we've never seen as Wassonians before. So how did you come up with that? What inspired it?
What inspired Chow, and I might tear up here a little bit more again, you know, like while my dad was here on Earth.
Catch green earth.
We, you know, he has a huge Italian food background.
Like, yeah.
When we went places, it wasn't just the beach. There had to be great food around.
Like, yeah.
Great Italian food. And
anywhere you vacationed.
Yeah.
Went anywhere.
Yeah.
And your Brooklyn trips with great grandma.
Yeah. 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 And so... on Sundays, we'd get together at his place, and I would like really go out of my way to, and he would go out of his way to make some amazing food. And he's just like, man, if we could have a restaurant that, he's like, where can you get this stuff? And I'm just right, like, yeah. Nowhere, like right here in your kitchen.
Yeah.
That's where you can get it.
Yeah. I love it.
So after he passed, I was just like, you know, what
tribute,
more of a tribute or homage.
Yeah.
Could you give Raj?
Oh.
Then open up a restaurant with all the food we used to eat and cook together. And so a lot of the, you know, and I always wanted to do fresh pastas and things like that.
Raj is the name you call your father.
Yeah.
Raj. You, like my dad, who we're part of the Dead Dads Club, had a nickname. We called my dad Harvey.
Yep.
Yeah.
Harvey and Raj. Rest in peace, boys.
Yeah. I think they probably knew each other, honestly.
I'm sure.
But they do now.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Michael's was not. I mean, you had some Italian, like you had your grandma's pasta on the menu at Michael's, but it wasn't a full Italian menu, right?
It was a very supper clubby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great steaks, big salad. I loved it. And,
right,
yeah.
Right.
But
right.
This is more, would you consider this an Italian restaurant?
I would consider it a very Italian driven restaurant.
Okay.
But you know, like then you have, we still get dry aged beef from the local farmer,
right,
and you get some fried chicken and things like that.
Right.
What's the, before we go into the kitchen now, into the deep kitchen, can you tell us who's on your staff and how the staff is laid out here? Front of the house, back of the house?
This guy walking through here right now.
What do you got in there?
He's a little bit older than me.
What is that?
Myers rum.
Myers rum.
Seriously?
He's making, he must be making Budino.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's not to drink.
No. Okay.
So this is Keith Kriesel. You can say hi in the microphone.
Hello, nice. Hi, Keith. Nice to meet you.
This is his second job.
Oh.
Ever?
His first one was at Michael's.
And how long have you two worked together?
Oh, my gosh.
24
years.
Wow, that is nuts.
Well, I love your food. Everyone is involved, but good for you.
And what's Keith's role?
Keith is the executive sous chef.
Nice. So the way that works, explain how the kitchen works, you know, as the line cook comes out and all that.
He does all the hard work. I just point fingers.
Yeah. But as the sous chef, are you actually cooking the meals or are you overseeing it?
We both
are very involved on the line and on our premises.
Every plate that comes out before it goes onto your table at Chow, it goes through your eyes, one or two of your eyes.
And usually, you know, we prepare it with our hands and a lot of it. So
the plating and everything else. Yeah. Okay, then who else we have?
Our junior sous chef, Christina.
And how long has she been here?
They're all hard at work.
She's been back. She's been with me for like 2 years.
Okay.
Cool. We have a gentleman, Kong. He's just started last winter.
Nice. All right.
He's doing well. He's making, he does all the salad prep and dessert prep and things like that.
Okay.
Cool.
Luke C. Hafer, he's been with us just over a year and a half now. He's line and prep.
Okay.
And then we have this guy we call the kid. And he's he just graduated high school. Very, very ambitious.
Oh, like you were.
Yeah.
Yeah. In Georgetown days.
I'm actually sending him to the culinary program here.
You're kind of like his Gary.
I kind of am like his Gary.
Yeah. Oh, everyone needs one.
Yeah.
You can attest to that. That's cool.
So he's going to the NTC culinary school.
Yep.
With what's his name? Travis?
Tesca.
Tesca. Yeah. Yeah. I heard that's very popular.
Chef Travis.
There. And then who's the young lady here?
That's Christina.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you
she's the junior sous chef.
Okay.
So when Keith and I are gone, she's the boss.
Okay.
But we're never gone. So.
I hear the timer. The beats are done, you guys.
We're learning now. They're all over it.
What's the most challenging part of, before we go back in the kitchen now, what's the most challenging part of your job?
I guess I pride myself like being a little bit better of a boss than most people. Mm-hmm. The challenge is keeping the family together.
Yeah, I bet.
So, like a lot of my wait staff here, they're the best wait staff in Wisconsin.
Yeah, great.
They've been with me for, you know, most of them, you know, 8 to 10 years. And mm-hmm. then the other ones came with dailies, and I'm growing to love them. And mm-hmm. we're a work family.
Yeah, for sure. Got to be.
And everybody has their problems. And I kind of feel, I don't want to say like the godfather or whatever. But
right.
I'm the guy they come to when something...
In their personal life.
Yeah.
Or,
And I'm flattered, but it's a lot to take on a lot of times. And then also keeping business fresh and people coming through the door.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you doing more revenue here than you were at Michael's?
Yes. This is much more lucrative for me.
Yeah. By what percentage, roughly?
At least 40%.
Nice. Yeah. Wow. Do you guys have family meals every day?
We do in the kitchen. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then on the weekends, like when we get fresh seafood in all the time on the weekend, when it's time for them, the servers to taste.
Yeah.
I cook it, I present it, I explain it to them, they all taste it, so they can sell it.
That's great.
For those not in the service industry, the family meal is traditionally the meal that the staff gets at the end of the night, right?
Or before service.
Yeah. Or before service.
Okay. You know, you talk about things like this wine pairs well. You can suggest this wine with that or this cocktail or whatever.
Can Paul and I come in and cook family meal for the staff at some day?
If you're going to cook those burgers you've been talking about, maybe.
Yeah, since COVID.
Since COVID.
Yeah, I texted Chef Adam and I'm like, oh my God, I made the perfect In-N-Out burger replica. And Paul, you've had it, right?
I have had it.
It tastes damn good.
Not to rub it in, Adam, but I have had it. It's pretty damn good.
He also lives closer to me.
Yeah, true.
But, you know, I think the secret there is the mustard goes face down. You put the mustard on the hamburger and then you cook it face down on the pan.
Oh, there.
And it's the first and only time I've ever seen that done and heard about that. But that was kind of the secret.
I could see that.
Yeah, okay. It was cool.
That's my favorite burger.
In-N-Out?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Fine. Deal. Done.
Outside of Culver's, but you can't get In-N-Out in Wausau.
Yeah. Deal. So if we make In-N-Out burgers, we can do family meal?
Yeah.
Before service?
Sure.
Yeah. Oh, okay. And we won't get in anybody's way?
3:30.
Or we could cook them.
We need to be eating by 3:30.
Okay. Should we cook them here or should we cook them at Rocket and bring them over?
Whatever you want
to
do.
Oh, I'd love to cook them here.
Love to cook them here.
All right. Before we go, a couple other questions quickly. Where do you like to eat? What's your favorite place to eat in Wausau that's not yours?
No.
Gotta ask.
Yeah. Well.
Another timer. What's that timer for?
Nope. Another timer, folks.
I can't tell.
Okay.
I can't tell from here.
Okay.
That one's not the Alexa timer. That one's the just generic timer for something.
So you have an Alexa back there?
Yeah, a couple.
Oh, a little secret of the trail. Yeah,
okay.
So you guys start prepping around 2?
Yeah, then, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock.
Okay, and then service starts at 4?
Yep.
And you're closed Sundays and Mondays? Or
just Sunday.
Just Sunday, okay. So your favorite restaurant that's not Chow?
There's a lot of good spots here in Wausau.
Yeah, we're lucky.
I don't really have a favorite, but when I go out, I go to the Red Eye.
Yep. Mm.
Peking.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
My neighbor's Lemongrass.
Yeah. Mm. Love it. Great team. I know you're friends with those guys.
Back when.
Yeah. The Luchis.
And Carmelo's.
Yeah. I love
Carmelo's. I like Carmelo's during the ski season.
Yeah. You know? On the back patio.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sunday there.
And they're open on Sundays. So that's when I can get to go out.
Yeah.
Right. A lot of places are closed on Sunday and Monday or two.
The Olivas and Jane. Oh, sweet Jane.
You're making me hungry. Can we go back and cook?
Yeah. Let's do it. Okay. Let's go.
All right.
Okay. Don't let us get in anybody's way. Keith, sorry.
Right over here. Will that work?
Okay. Yes, sir. So we're back in the kitchen. We got the range going here. Is this Acurex from Green Hack? Was that here when you got the
place? It was. It's a very expensive ordeal, and I was happy that it was taken care of.
Yeah. I know it's a Green Hack fan. Acurex is a Green Hack brand, but what is it technically called? A hood?
Hood ventilation, in the winter, it provides makeup air, so it doesn't suck the heat out of the bar area or restaurant area.
Okay.
In the summer, we turn it off, so this thing sucks the air conditioning back here for us.
Okay, so you're putting on gloves? Black nitrile gloves on. Yep. You have to change those with every meal?
Yes.
So every dish you put new nitrile gloves on?
Well, not every dish, but like every time I touch something different, like a raw product of some kind, then I change gloves. And
it seems like a pain in the ass. Okay.
Sanitizer buckets like all over the kitchen and stuff like that as well.
Yeah.
All right. So I have, we're going to make the chartreuse for you guys.
Perfect. Shrimp chartreuse we're making. Okay.
Yeah. So I've got some dehydrated basil.
Okay.
This is fresh chopped organic shallots.
Just a pinch of each, roughly?
Yeah, roughly.
Okay.
About 2.5 ounces of white wine.
Okay.
You guys, I hope you're paying attention, everybody, but I tell people the recipe. It's the easiest thing in the universe, but they always come back.
Yeah. Did Michael come up with this himself, or where does the recipe originate?
I would say he might have picked it up along the way and maybe made some of his own.
Adjustments, What number of meals on your menu are your grandma's?
Pasta dishes, and most of the sauces are like and the ravioli are my grandmother's, great-grandmother's, my mother's, and my father's family recipes.
From Italy?
Yes, with my tweak on them.
Wow. Okay, so how many shrimp are we putting in here now?
7 shrimp. The shrimp we use here are cold water Argentinian shrimp brought to you from Awesome Shrimp.
Okay.
Another crazy story. He met somebody from Argentina on vacation, and they decided to start a shrimp company.
Just shrimp? Was that after they saw Forrest Gump or before?
Maybe before.
Okay, look at that.
So,
gas range.
I'm going to leave you guys here for a second, grab some tongs, and I'll be right back.
Yeah. Okay. Paul, are you paying attention? Big responsibility. We're overseeing the world-famous chartreuse. Shrimp? That's a mouthful. Shrimp? Chartreuse.
Yeah, it's just me and Paul. Keith's kind of watching over us to make sure we don't do anything
watchful
wrong.
Watchful eye.
Yeah.
Don't blame him.
But it's just me and Paul overlooking the shrimp chartreuse right now.
I think we know our way in a kitchen, but this is a whole different level.
Yeah.
It's a commercial kitchen.
And can't wait to make that family meal.
Yeah, one of my favorite restaurants. This is cool being back here.
Yeah.
Should I give it a little shake?
Nope, he's back. I wouldn't dare. I know you could.
So what we're doing right now is we're just going to bring this wine up to a boil.
Okay.
And once the shrimp starts to cook a little bit, then I'll flip them over, take them out of the pan, set them aside, and then finish the sauce and then add the shrimp so the shrimp don't get overcooked.
Okay.
Good, yeah.
Paul, are you going to try making this at home?
Probably.
I'm assuming. Okay.
Yeah, mammals have to.
How many meals can you cook at once, chef? Like, how many dishes? Like, if there's a 10-top, there's a 3-top, there's a 2-top, how does that work? How do you time it out?
I mean, without getting into too many details, on a busy night, all these burners are raging. The grill is full. The ovens are stuffed. And it's me, Keith, and 2 other people behind this little area. And one guy, like, running back and forth. Because as you see, like, we don't have a lot of refrigeration available, like, other than what's in these tables here.
So you're running all over. You got a sweat going.
We're stationary, but yeah, we got a sweat going. We have a gopher, basically, and 4 people that are just locked in here.
Okay, wow. How long does it take when all your tables are stacked? You've got everybody seated. If they all got seated at once and they all ordered, you know, kind of at once, when would everybody get their meal? In theory. So
in theory, the guest orders, whether they get a salad or just order an entree. Say they order a salad, an entree. The order comes back, salad goes to that printer over there. When the salad goes out, the waitress or server writes the time on the ticket.
That's important.
Yeah.
So, and then our goal is to get their entrees out within 15 minutes of the time that they get their salad.
Timing's everything, once again.
This is all full of pots and saute pans. The thermalizers are rolling, like there's just stuff going all the time.
It's like a symphony.
And everything is made to order. So, like,
do you ever have music playing back here?
Yeah, well, I got it off for you guys.
Well, turn it on, would you? You tell Alexa? Alexa, play some Huey Lewis in the news. Where is it? Oh, it's right there. Will she listen to me?
Yeah.
All right, let's see. Jeff Bezos, let's see what you got.
Alexa, play some music. Keith likes the soundtrack to Stand By Me. I've been listening to it every day for like the past 25 years. That's how we start
our
day.
For the past 25 years? You start every day?
Oh, there's another
timer.
Cheesecakes.
Cheesecakes. Pulling them out of the oven.
Look at this. There's cheesecake in the oven.
Amazing.
What do you think?
Give them a couple minutes, Red.
Yeah. More minutes. And the chartreuse.
So you can kind of see how the shrimp are, like, they've changed color. They're a little bit less opaque. They're more white and red.
It's starting to smell good, too.
Very good. Take them out and set them aside so they don't overcook.
Hey, Paul, when you try making this at home, you got to text Chef Adam a picture of it.
For sure.
Yeah. Paul's wife and kids are out of town all week, so I'm sure he's going to make this tonight. Don't screw it up.
So, and you can see the wine is more than 3/4 reduced than what we started with.
Yeah, and now you've taken the shrimp out, and you're grabbing the chartreuse.
Chartreuse, this is the magic, right?
Yeah, the namesake of the dish.
We're going to put about 1.5 ounces into that very carefully.
Does that have alcohol in it?
Yeah.
Oh, it has started on fire.
Flame right up.
It's 55%
proof. Oh, yeah. Wow. Okay.
That's a serious flame we're looking at right now.
Yeah, it is. I didn't realize you flambé it. Is that called flambéing?
That is flambéing.
All right. The term, show off.
Paul's a way better cook than I am.
Not way better.
Better, but
so I mean, like, imagine having like 6 different tables ordering this. It's kind of a process, and it all starts at different times.
Yeah. So now we're adding
cream.
How much?
Probably about a little bit more than a cup.
That was a lot of cream.
Very decadent. I mean, people, it's an appetizer.
Yeah.
But I get people that come in and eat it for dinner. I just It's like so rich. Like,
yeah.
Two and I'm good. I'm very satisfied. It's a very nice way to start a meal.
I agree.
But like, I get people that have it for dinner all the time.
Two shrimp and you're good. You're saying.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. But it gets served over a bed of rice.
Yep.
Wild secret, rice.
Secret wild. Wild rice.
Yeah. Why is it secret?
Because it's an organic rice from Michigan.
Okay.
And just the way we season it up is.
Oh, that's secret.
Yeah.
Are you gonna?
I'm not gonna go into it.
Oh, okay. So that's been pre-made already.
Yes, the rice, wild rice takes about 2.5 hours.
Okay.
To make.
Yeah, I suppose. I know wild rice is really difficult to make.
It needs to be absorbed to give the rice proper texture, and then however we season it is. Make your rice however you want to make
it. Yeah, there
rice.
You go.
Okay, Paul.
There you go.
Let's see how good your palate is.
Okay, he's mixing it up there.
You're right back.
Yeah. Yes. We'll oversee. We'll hold on the fort, Chef. Very intentionally, and he does it so the liquid comes right up to the top of the edge of the pan without spilling over. There was no spilling going.
While he was mixing it.
Yeah.
He didn't use a utensil to mix it. Paul's touching the pan.
Oh, it felt so good.
Paul touched the pan.
Ryan.
Paul touched the pan.
Like, I kind of like scrape this in there.
Yeah.
Because that's like the sweet, that's sweetness. It's caramelization.
Okay.
And as the bubbles in the cream get smaller.
It's still boiling.
Yep. That means the cream is reducing at a rapid rate.
Okay. Oh, and then you add the shrimp back in. Okay. So you cook the shrimp in there. Then you take the shrimp out. You finish it, flambe it, and then you add the shrimp back in.
Yeah.
Okay. I can tell it's getting close to being done.
It's really close. I got the rice heating right now, and you guys will be having shrimp chartreuse momentarily here.
How often are you prepping your fresh pasta?
Every day.
Daily, up front in the window.
Yep.
And is that grandma's recipe as well?
That's kind of my recipe.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, the ravioli dough is her recipe.
Yeah.
Our pasta doesn't have any egg in it. The stuff that we use on the table, the ravioli... We put egg in that. It adds, offers elasticity to the dough so it can be stretched.
Okay. Yeah, check those cheesecakes again.
What do you think, Chef?
It's a steal. They're good now. They've set.
Out cheesecake.
So they get sit out for 10 minutes.
Okay.
You set that timer, Luke.
10 minutes.
They really communicate well around here.
Alexa, play Huey Lewis in the News.
Time 6. And that's I don't want to reduce it much more than that because it starts to get too thick.
Oh man, between the cheesecakes and the shrimp chartreuse.
Wonderful smelling kitchen right
now. Wow, things are coming together.
You just kind of arrange the shrimp around the rice like that.
Okay.
Power of Love is playing now. The sauce just goes over the rest of it, and there you have it. Shrimp
beautiful
fritters.
Dish. That's it. It's finished, and that's how you'd serve it now?
Yeah.
Oh, God. I can't wait to dig into this.
Yes.
Forty years ago, Huey Lewis played at my aunt and uncle's wedding.
That's a cool band ahead.
What?
They were just getting going, but it was in Chicago. And
were you there?
I wasn't there, no.
Oh, no.
I just hear the stories and see the pictures.
Because how old are you?
49.
49. So you could have been 9, possibly.
49 going on 36.
Yeah, sure. Any idea what song they played? Did they play any of their hits?
I would imagine they were playing all their hits at the time.
Wow, that is.
Now, Chef, do you leave the burner on?
No. Thank you.
Oh, yep.
I got side.
Paul's earning his keep.
We're getting in the way here now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
How long would it take for you and your team to get totally annoyed if Paul and I were here during service?
We're getting there now.
Well, Tara's always annoyed with me, so it's like.
Oh,
look at that.
Mentioning shrimp chartreuse.
So are we a lot.
In what way?
Yeah. We were just talking about it today.
Does he love it?
Everybody loves it.
Well, we heard, yeah. He tried to take it off the menu and all hell broke loose. It was like Monk Gardens changing their name.
It was almost as bad.
Well, yeah, it was almost as bad.
All right, let's dig into this.
Yeah, this is exciting.
Oh, Paul. Look at this. Chef, thank you.
I'm not going to enjoy that with you. I've had it too much.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Paul, should we go get a beer from Tara?
Sure. You've outdone yourself.
Yeah, this is really an honor. I'm going to get that first bite.
Mmm.
Mmm. Wow, there you go.
Mmm.
Oh, that is...
Mmm.
Mmm.
Oh, that is delicious. What's your most popular thing on the menu as an entree?
You know, people ask me that all the time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, whenever I try to redo or add or take away, like I look at the sales reports and everything, I'm not even kidding. And I'm not trying to get out of answering with one dish.
Yeah.
Everything is very equal across the board.
That's a sign of a good menu, I would assume.
I've never had that in my career. Like, there's always been a dog on the menu that this has been there because only these two people like it.
Right.
And now they're passed on and we can change it.
Wow.
But I've never had that where every menu item is like equal across the board.
Yeah, I would have thought
there
would have
been. Very convenient for ordering because like I know kind of, and Keith knows like what we're going to go through and how much we go through. And
Well, this has been an honor. Yeah.
Privilege.
Before we go, have you been watching The Bear on Hulu?
Yeah. I'm all caught up, ready for the next season.
Okay.
You watch Wisconsin Foodie?
Yeah.
Thoughts on that?
It's a good show. They bring a lot of color to the area. You can relate.
Yeah.
What's your favorite restaurant in Wisconsin?
Jeez. It's hard because I try to go someplace. When I travel, I try to go someplace new every time based on. That would be the Pig in the Fur Coat, maybe.
Oh, wow. I've never been there. Have you?
Either. Nope.
Is that new-ish?
Or wait, no, am I thinking? Tara would know.
Hey, Tara!
What's the name of the deli?
Ella's Deli. I don't know.
No.
That's iconic.
Yeah, I wish.
Fraboni's?
Tenuta. Fraboni's was a cool deli.
I worked there for a year.
I used to work there in college.
I used to go there and get the smoked string cheese.
Yeah.
You know, been watching Top Chef Wisconsin?
Oh, yeah. I haven't caught any of the episodes.
Yeah. Okay.
You know.
I hear it
soon. It always airs when I'm at work.
What's your brother Billy doing? Because I know he was kind of the maitre d' at Michael's for a while. Small step up.
Yeah.
Billy, you know, he's just warning people when they're going to the dining room. Small step up.
So since Michael's, he was the maitre d', GM at Bootleggers.
Yeah, that place.
Tomahawk.
Going there in a few weeks.
Comas.
Yep. And then he went to Lombardi's at the Paper Valley Hotel.
In Appleton?
As the GM.
Yep. Is he the GM at Lombardi's?
Oh, okay.
It was too much for him.
Okay. I love you, Billy.
Yeah. And now he's just living his life.
Okay. Fair enough. But he's still
in between things.
And he moved away from Wausau and we want him to boomerang back.
Yeah.
And then before we go, we also wanted to mention that you are up for a favorite chef in the United States as part of Carla Hall's and the James Beard Foundation's competition across the country. You're up for top chef, favorite chef.
I'm in the running.
You're number one right now, aren't you?
Number one in my group.
That's phenomenal.
The support here locally, all the people I've met along the way, it's been humbling to say the least.
Yeah, well, we're big supporters of yours and we're rooting for you there. Hopefully when that gets announced, we'll be able to celebrate that.
Yeah, look for it on Facebook.
You can follow Chow on Facebook.
Page.
But the best way to get the link to vote is on Chow's Facebook page.
Correct.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, Master Chef. Is there a difference between chef and Master Chef?
Not really.
No, just marketing. Ladies and gentlemen, Master Chef, Adam Jim Goshen. Thanks for coming on, Adam. Really appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Keith, you can put on Stand By Me now, the soundtrack.
And darling, darling, stand by.
Show is in the air like cheddar cheese.
The Wausau Business Show.
What happens when you bank locally? At Incredible Bank, it means your deposits help us invest in your community. Your deposit dollars provide us with the resources to support the local economy and help spark dreams of growth for businesses like your favorite mom and pop shop or your favorite locally owned restaurant. Banking local provides a return on investment you can see every day in the form of a better, more vibrant community. How incredible is that? So, bank local. Bank Incredible. Incredible Bank. Member FDIC.
Welcome to the heartbeat of Wausau.
The Wausau Business Show.
Stand back. In the middle of my room, I did not hear from you. It's all right.
Max really produces a great sound, doesn't
she? She's still got it. I bet you she's got a pop blocker windscreen on that microphone when she sang that song.
I bet she does too. Right now in the studio, we have Nolan Travis coming back from Broadway. He's come to our studio to talk to us about it.
Back from New York City. Welcome, Nolan.
Nolan, when did you get like totally jazzed about Broadway musicals?
So back when I was in third grade, me and my family went and saw this show at the Grand, and we saw in the little book that you get, we saw a little insert for our community theater doing a show.
Okay.
And so my sister was very interested in doing it, and I was not at all, but since she's doing it, I had to do it.
Okay.
And so that kind of started it all.
Nice.
What show was it that you went to that started it all?
101 Dalmatians.
Oh, a classic. Yeah.
And what year was that?
That was in third grade.
Oh, so quite a few years ago.
Yeah.
So then you got into the Broadway scene because of the children's theater?
Yeah, the children's theater had a lot to do with it.
Okay. And what was your first musical? Were they all musicals or were some of them plays? Because some of the children's theater does regular plays too, right?
Mostly I've done only musicals.
Oh.
I prefer more of like the singing aspect of it and stuff like that. And so my first show was Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat.
Oh, I've seen that. Yeah.
Yeah. So a fully sung through show and everything like that.
Wow. And then you've been doing this like several times a year since.
Yeah.
You just got hooked?
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. So like in your blood.
Yeah. It's like a little bug.
And then now you're in Wausau West and you're going to be a senior in high school this year. And how did you get to New York?
How that started was last fall we did our production Man of La Mancha.
Okay.
And we had people from Madison come down and review our show for our regional program, the Jerry Awards. And with our regional program, they nominated a bunch of people from our show. And then we had to wait all the way until May where they announced all the people that won awards. And so me and my friend Nolan, we both won Outstanding Lead Performer.
His name is Nolan too?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I know. I know.
Right. Two Nolans.
Yeah. And so we were able to go down to Madison on Memorial Day to go do this audition with a bunch of other people from around the state.
Okay.
For the opportunity to go to the Jimmy Awards in New York.
Okay.
And so me and this girl named Ava from Madison, we were selected to go for the Jerry Awards.
Where did you stay?
We stayed at Juilliard.
At the school, Juilliard?
Yeah, the school.
In like the dormitories?
Yeah, the dormitories.
Oh, wow. Is that where you want to go to college?
That is not where I want to go to college.
Okay. Where do you want to go to
college? Too expensive.
Okay. I'm just assuming that you're going to get a full ride on a singing scholarship to Juilliard. I'm sorry.
I don't really know where I want to go yet.
And how'd it go out in New York when you guys performed? It was sold out from what I understand,
right?
Yeah,
it was sold out. It was really cool.
And we understand that you are a Red Lobster fan.
I am a Red Lobster fan.
When was the last time you went to Red Lobster and where?
Last time I went to Red Lobster was when we went and toured my sister's school for college this year up in Northern Michigan in Marquette.
Okay.
Last time I went to a Red Lobster.
Marquette has a Red Lobster?
Marquette has a Red Lobster.
And Wausau doesn't.
I know.
What's going on here? Getting his blood boiling.
They could boil a lobster in my blood right now. Well, you know, you're here, Nolan. I guess we have to kind of do it, don't we, Paul?
Yeah, let's do this. It's sort of a lifelong dream of ours.
Ladies and gentlemen, Red Lobster.
The musical.
When I was but a child.
When he was but a child.
In Indiana. My parents took me to a Red Lobster.
Red Lobster.
Then my family moved to Wausau. And sadly there was no Red Lobster here.
So sad.
I've been found and determined to change that since I moved here. And now I am a man. Red Lobster, here's my plan.
He's a man with the lobster plan.
Bring your luscious cheddar biscuits to the people of Wausau. We crave the whole menu.
Oh, please do hear our cry.
Red Lobster, we love ya. Come to Wausau, Red Lobster, we love you.
Yeah!
Red Lobster, we hope that you heard that down
down in Florida, we know that you're listening.
Let's bring that to Broadway.
We're pulling out all the stops. We're here. This is your marketing idea. Flava Flav on Broadway doing Flava Flav musicals about Red Lobster. How about that?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. Who we got coming up next week, Paul?
Oh, this is going to be a fun one. Radio legend, radio hall of famer, none other than Shadow Stevens.
Used to host American Top 40, now hosted by Ryan Seacrest. Ryan Seacrest took over for Shadow Stevens.
And don't forget about Hollywood Squares, where he served as the center square on the most popular TV show of the 90s.
Circle Gets a Square. It was Hollywood Squares, and Shadow Stevens was a part of it. Not only did he host American Top 40, which was the number one countdown in Wausau at the time, everybody wanted to hear what the number one Billboard song was every week.
I know, I listen to Shadow weekly.
And the number one television show in Wausau, Wisconsin, USA, Hollywood Squares. So until next week, Wausau, from high atop Rib Mountain, I'm Ryan.
And I'm Paul.
And this has been a Wausau Business Show transmission.
The end.
Wausau Business Show Transmission. Allreiz Reservé 2024.